Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, welcome everyone to the From the Shadows podcast. I'm your host, Shane Grove. The super producer is not available because he's once again at work because he's a chump. My guest, she's in the background chuckling, I think, as she knows that I'm making fun of the super producer. But we had to record this episode while he was still at work, so he couldn't join us. But he's itching to get back. I think he's going to be on the next episode. So for all the big Jason super producer fans, he'll be back hopefully the next episode, and you can hear his deep, dark, velvety voice, you know, back on the podcast. So before I do bring on our fantastic guest, I just want to remind everybody that if you want to get a hold of us, you can find us on Facebook at From the Shadows Podcast. You can go to our forum page at After the Shadows, or you can find me at Shane Grove Author on Instagram. Go to the From the Shadows Podcast Instagram page. Go to our website, fromtheshadowspodcast.com. Hit the contact button. Send me an email. I promise I'll read it and respond, especially if you you want to share a story about an experience that you've had, because those are our best guests. That's why we have our guest on today, because she has so many good personal experiences she's going to share. And then I want to remind everybody that we do have a Patreon page. We have some extra content that goes up every month, an extra midweek howl and an extra paranormal episode. Other than that, I guess I should just stop talking, because I think everybody's going to be tuned in to hear our guest talk. So coming back for the second time, she's a two-time returning contestant here on the From the Shadows podcast, is a good friend of mine who has become a good friend of mine, Mandy from the Ghost Sisters. Mandy, welcome to the From the Shadows podcast again.
Hello, Shane.
Is excited as you're going to be? Just like a little hello,
Shane. Yeah, I'm always excited to talk to you. You guys are funny.
Oh, geez. And like my dad used to say, you're funny, Shane, but looks aren't everything. So Mandy, we had you and the rest of the team, rest of your team on, I mean, back in the early days when we first started, and we've done a lot of stuff together. Like, I've been on a couple of your live feeds and shows, and, we did a TV show together. We've pitched some TV shows, done all kinds of stuff together. So for our new fans that didn't, you know, maybe have not gone back and heard your first episode, give us a little background on where you're at and who you are and what it is that you, what it is you do, like your special abilities.
Okay. So I'm located in Marion, Ohio. I am a former corrections officer of 8 years. And I'm also a intuitive medium. And I am a full-time paranormal investigator.
Well, that's very succinct. I mean, I couldn't have said it any better. And in Marion, you know, for the people, for all of our fans that are from Ohio, and we have a lot of fans from, they know that, you know, we're pretty close. We're actually pretty close, you know. And when we first got together and talked to you guys, we realized we had a lot of, you know, we had some mutual friends, in fact. And just goes to show you how small the world is, let alone the paranormal world. So what, so tell us, like, so now you're a full-time paranormal investigator. What does that mean? What does that mean? What do you do?
Well, I'm no longer in corrections. So now I dedicate my time to the paranormal field. So, you know, I go all around, not just in Ohio. I travel to different states investigating, looking for, you know, proof of life after death. I sometimes investigate on the weekends. Sometimes I'm gone during the week. So, I mean, I just never know, you know, when I'm going to be gone and how long I'll be gone. Sometimes I'll have 2 to 3 investigations lined up, one on the weekend and sometimes 2 during the week. So that's what I do besides my mediumship, which I usually do that during the week also. So I try to do my readings before I head out to do an investigation. That's
pretty busy. I was going to say, how do you keep all that straight?
I don't know. I just do. I can multitask. That was one of my big things I could do when I worked in corrections. Multitasking was something you had to be very good at.
Now, I know the answer to this, but I'm going to ask this question because I want you to kind of talk about it to our listeners. But so you're a psychic medium, like more like an empath, right? Like you feel stuff and you know sense spirits, right?
Mm-hmm. And sometimes I see them. Yeah.
Sometimes you see them. Okay. And so I know from talking to a lot of other guests that have that same sort of ability, there's a good chance that when you're out doing investigations, that those spirits pick up on the fact that you can see them or sense them. And a lot of times they like to tag along and maybe follow you back home.
Yes, yes. And it's funny you say that about them knowing, because they have called me out numerous times on investigations.
Like, okay.
So they come to my ink box.
Your think box? Like
it's an ink box. It looks like an old 80s boom box. And it was made by Katie Stafford, who is all over the channel on The Devil's Perch. He's on Ghost of Morgan. And, you know, and when he's not filming, he makes paranormal equipment. And the ink box is one of his biggest sellers right now so far. He's in the process of making more things too. But right now the ink box is really big. And it is basically a spirit box that spirits use to communicate through the frequencies. And when we're out there investigating, sometimes the spirits will come through and they'll call me a medium.
Really?
Or a witch. Okay.
Or a witch. Okay.
Because yes. Depending on what time frame the spirit is from, you know, I'm like, I'm not a witch.
Boy. Yeah. Yeah. But you're right, though, depending on what time period that spirit is from, that's what they would, that's the term they probably would have to describe your ability. Okay.
Yeah.
How freaky is it to be out somewhere you've never been before in the middle of the night and have something call, you know, say something so specific about you and to you.
I actually think it's pretty cool because it's validation. I, even if I don't even mention to them that I can hear or see them, if they want me to see them, they already know because they're already saying it, you know, before I even mention it to them. I think it's pretty cool that they know, because I know they know, but to hear them say it, you know, it's pretty cool.
And so, and so having the ability that you have, it really does then, it lets you know that that piece of equipment then is not just a bunch of garbage.
Oh.
Right? I mean, yeah. That it's legit, that that piece of equipment does do what it says it's doing.
Yes.
Okay. I mean, because I'm sure, I mean, from the skeptical side, you know, people are like, oh, I mean, come on. Really? Does that really work? I mean, how does anybody even know that works and stuff? But you are confirming that that equipment is picking up the same stuff that you are picking up then at the same time, essentially.
Yes.
So tell me, I know you got a couple good stories. So tell our listeners, you know, about some times where a spirit didn't heed your warning about staying where they were at, not coming home with you.
Oh gosh, I've had them do it a lot. So, okay. So, this would have been, actually this year would have been in, I think it was February or January, but I'm thinking February. I had just got back from, Hollywood. I was over there for 3 nights with, a good friend of mine, Patty Negri, who is also known as the Hollywood Psychic Witch. And she's known for being on Ghost Adventures and Portals of Hell. And so I already had a lot of activity going on when I was in Hollywood. I stayed at a haunted hotel that Patty recommended.
such a good friend Patty is.
But she said that I would love it, and I did. I actually enjoyed the hotel. It was a nice hotel.
So I'm surprised she didn't say, hey, I get this great Airbnb on Cielo Drive. That
you know, she took me to all these haunted locations. That's what we did for 3 days, and she got me into the Cecil Hotel. And
you cannot get
into the Cecil Hotel because people, it is now like a Section 8 thing where it's a lower income place that you have to actually live there to get in.
Yes, I do remember that story, and I will not give away how you guys got into the Cecil Hotel or what happened here.
We got in for 10 minutes, and I believe that the girl that was said to have passed away in the water tank there, she connected with me, and it was crazy because when we got on the elevator, we were done. Our 10 minutes was up. We had to go. So everybody gets back on this elevator, and someone noticed something weird on the floor of the elevator. So I was live at the time, and I'm like, what is it? And everybody's like freaking out. And I looked down and I said, oh my, I said, that looks like a wet footprint. And nobody called it out but me. And they said, oh my gosh, you're correct. That is a wet footprint. It was only one. So you tell me, this was the last place that girl was seen, was on that elevator we were on. So we kind of thought maybe it was her. And so the weird thing is when I got back to my hotel and throughout the night, I was woke up and I had water, a bunch of water just started leaking out of my ear. And I was just like, what? I didn't understand what was going on. You know, I'm thinking if I had water in my ear at any time, it should have already came out by now, you know. But I believe, and my dear friend Patty believes, that that girl was trying to connect with me. And she followed me back to the hotel.
And for those that don't know, I mean, that girl was Elisa Lamb,
yes,
was her name. And they did a really good documentary on Netflix about her. And kind of, I mean, I think they kind of came to a conclusion as to what really happened to her. But at the same time, it still wasn't a great conclusion. You know, it wasn't a great way to go. And I could see her spirit being very restless and wanting to make contact, you know, for sure. Mm-hmm. So, and that's eerie. And yes, that surveillance video, if anybody hasn't seen it, I mean, go look it up. It's her on the
elevator
and seemingly hiding or trying to hide or escape from somebody, which, you know, I think that they've concluded that maybe she was hallucinating and that there really wasn't somebody chasing after her, but who knows, you know, because there's a lot of unanswered questions.
There is.
From that one. And that, wow, that gave me, and I knew that story and you just gave me chills when you said, yeah, you guys looked down and saw that wet footprint.
Yeah. And I'm the one that said it was a wet footprint. Nobody said that. They didn't even realize it was a footprint. And I'm like, you can see the heel, you can see the five toes. And I'm like, why would there only be one footprint that appears? That's the real creepy part. You think if it wasn't a spirit and it was somebody,
they'd have
on
two,
there would be two.
Standing side by side, yeah.
But
yeah.
The thing was, it wasn't on there when we first got on the elevator. It just appeared while we were all right there. Because even the security guard goes, that footprint was not there when we got on here. He was like a little freaked out.
Well, I'm sure. Because then he's got to go and like patrol the halls and stuff.
And he was skeptic. Like, he was very skeptical. And then he's like, I don't know.
Yeah, he probably walking back to his post going, that's the last time I'm letting any ghost hunters and psychics in this place. Nothing but trouble. So something followed you back from Hollywood.
Yeah.
So what happened then when you got home?
So I was hearing female voices talking to me in my hotel room. Just, I knew spirits were around me. But when I got back home, the next day, I wake up. As soon as I get up and I walk into my master bathroom, and I heard a man say, Mandy. And I was like, oh my gosh. I'm like, no, someone's followed me. And so later, I just ignored him. Actually, I did say, what do you want? But he didn't say anything after that. And so I came in later on throughout the day. I'm working out in my living room. And all of a sudden, he says my name again. And I'm like, okay, that is it. You're not telling me what you want. You keep saying my name. So I couldn't see him.
Was it Barry Manilow?
You know, he had a really deep voice.
Not Barry White, Barry Manilow.
Yeah. I know what you're talking about, that song. Yeah. I just instantly thought, something just told me it. Someone followed me from Hollywood, because I had went to multiple locations with Patty. I mean, all these places that were said to be haunted, and it could have been anyone. And even someone from my hotel, because a lot of famous celebrities stayed there. So anyway, I'm like, okay. He's not going to let me see what he looks like. He's not appearing to me. So I'm going to get my equipment out. So I grab my SLS camera. And for those of you who don't know what an SLS camera is, it is, it's like the Kinect, the Xbox back. You know how they have the Kinect? You can do Just Dance, you know, back then. Well, these, I can't remember the guy that made the equipment, but they ended up taking the Kinect and having this app built into this, and now they use it in the paranormal field to pick up spirits. So, you know, that came from people doing the Xbox, doing Just Dance, and they were seeing an extra person when they were doing the Just Dance that should not have been appearing on the TV, if you know what I mean.
Oh, I know what you mean.
So okay. Now the SLS camera, you know, is used in the field, and it picks up on energy. If the spirit is there, most of the time you're going to see it. So,
and it just looks like it. It just looks like a
stick figure.
Stick figure. Yeah.
Yeah. It's pretty cool. You don't see the head, but you see the arms, legs, and just a stick. It's just like a stick figure with arms and legs. So I get the SLS camera out and I'm walking through my house. I'm like, okay, where are you at? I know you're here. I go through the back room, nothing. I come into my living room, nothing. And then all of a sudden I pan the SLS camera on my couch, and my couch is long, and this man appears, and I'm like, oh my gosh. I'm like, well, who are you? He's sitting on my couch. And the funny thing is, he's sitting just like the typical man. He's like, got like, he's sitting there with his legs all out, and he's like, just sitting there, just like I have the video on Ghost Sisters. It's pretty cool to see it, because he sat there for about 5 minutes while I talked to him. And the more I talked to him, he would like move his legs for me and like put his hands up. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to have to do an investigation a little further. Let's see. So that night I did an investigation on my house, and he was telling me he followed me from Hollywood. He also said that he was from I think it was the 1930s when he died. And he was an older man. I can't remember what he said his name was, but he followed me. He followed me from Hollywood. And there was a more deeper investigation I did. I can't remember everything, but it was crazy because he was saying homicide to me. It was really creepy, but he was here, and he was only with me for maybe a week, and then he was gone.
So you didn't have to ask him to leave. He just left on his own.
I think just me talking to him, acknowledging him, and letting him tell his story when I went live, because he was coming through my devices saying, you know, I'd asked him when he died and what happened to him. And he was just, I think just acknowledging him might've been something he was wanting, because I didn't hear back from him after that.
Okay, so this leads to a whole bunch of other questions for me. So, number one, you think he was trying to tell you somebody killed him?
Homicide did come through my Ovilus 5, and that is it's like a dictionary full of a bunch of words that spirits use to communicate.
Okay.
So you ask a question, and they use this device to answer you.
So... Now, I think some people, you know, we're trying to imagine, okay, so these spirits, they should be able to go everywhere and anywhere.
They That's do, kind they of travel.
Now, but he only came to Marion, Ohio because he could attach to you, correct? I mean, it's not like...
I get what you're saying. So he knew that I was someone who was sensitive. You know, he knew I was a medium, and... He managed to hitch a ride with me from Hollywood, and I told him he needed to hitch a ride back.
Okay. Well, so hitch a ride back. So does he just like snap his fingers and he's back in Hollywood, or what? Or does he have to attach to something or someone physical and get back there?
Well, see, and that's another thing that us paranormal investigators try to prove about how they're traveling. It's like a portal or some type of dimension they're going through. I mean, there's a lot of unanswered questions in the paranormal field on how these spirits are doing this, but they are some way, somehow.
Well, they're obvious. I mean, to me, they're obviously, I mean, they're not solely in our realm,
yes.
Right? I mean, they're not there all the time. Or are they?
And we wherever. I don't think they stay in one location. Do they return back to their location? Sure. I mean, to me, it's like, if you want to go back home, you're going to go back home. If you want to go visit someone, you're going to go, and then you go back home, or if you're still here, you know what I mean?
Well, what I'm asking though is like, so say, you know, say I got a ghost in my house, and I know I've seen it. I've done stuff. Is that ghost there in my presence, just not showing itself all day every day, or does it slip into another dimension or another, you know what I'm saying, and then decide, hey, you know what, I'm going to work today, I gotta go scare
you know Shane. I believe that they have 1 foot in the spiritual world and 1 foot here.
In the physical world. Yeah. Yes. Okay.
So they come and go.
Now, how does your husband enjoy when something comes back from Hollywood and is hanging out? How does he, what's he think of that?
I just think he tries not to think about it. he works in law enforcement, so he brings home things. I've told him, I said, you're bringing home things.
From the spiritual world, right? From the spiritual world, right? Not from any other world.
Okay. From the spiritual world, he's bringing lost souls from where he works in law enforcement. I honestly believe sometimes they follow him here. Because they know that, a lot of the inmates that have passed on, they knew me because I worked in corrections where my husband works now for years, So they know, if I follow Lieutenant, I'm going to get to see Mrs. Cummings. That's how I look at it anyway. Because I've had them, my own personal experience. They visited me.
So somebody that was in prison where you worked ended up visiting you at home.
Mm-hmm. More than once.
How does that make you? I mean, geez.
It's hard to explain because a lot of times they'll.
Listen, Mandy. Mandy, I've known you a long time. We've had so many conversations about this, but there are thousands of people all over the world going, how is she so calm and cool right now? And it's just so matter of fact. Like, yeah, I had toast for breakfast. That's kind of like
Well, I've been dealing with it for so long. I mean, does it scare me? Sure. My house has a lot of spirits in this house. I have investigated my house numerous times. This house was already had a lot of spirits in it before I moved in. So it's just something I'm kind of used to. It's my home. I don't feel anything bad here. Do they come and visit me? Yes. Do they follow me from locations? Yes. When I give people readings, do their loved ones hang with me for a little bit? Yes. It is not easy all the time, but, I feel comfortable with it. I've been doing this a long time.
I have to be honest. If I delivered somebody a check or a package they're really waiting for, I don't really want them following me home or come and hang it. Yeah, I don't want them following me even down the sidewalk, for a little bit on the mail route. I don't know how you do.
You think for 1 minute that they don't follow you, because they do. You go to the grocery store, don't you? Well, they're all over in the grocery store.
Come on. Oh,
I'm going to tell you right now, I have been in the grocery stores and walked down the aisle, and for no reason at all, stuff just be falling off in front of me. And they weren't hanging on the edge. I mean, nothing looked like it was, stuff just falling off for no reason. Refrigerator doors opening. It's like, okay. Nobody's there but me. The refrigerator door just opened.
Okay. Now, when that stuff happens, though, it's not just you that sees it, because it's a physical thing happening. So other people see it. Okay. So what do you think? Do you think the regular Joes like me see that stuff and don't think, oh my God?
Well, if someone's on camera watching at the store, they're probably thinking, oh, maybe something just fell off. It was on the, closer to the edge or something. They're going to do whatever they can to rationalize what they're seeing, But for me, I'm going to save spirit.
So,
my attention.
So all those times my dad spanked me because I knocked something off the shelf, or he thought I knocked something off the shelf. It could have been a ghost just messing. And I took the blame.
Could have been.
That's terrible. That's terrible. I think I took a couple butt whoopings because of a ghost. I'm going to go on record. I'm going to go on record. I've asked a lot of people that really see spirits in a more almost physical form, like they're people. And I've asked, I said, so how many times are you someplace like at the mall or Cedar Point or someplace where there's tons and tons of people? And how many times you walk by somebody who's not really there? And they always answer probably more than you think.
Exactly. More than you want to know.
Yeah, because I mean, because my ghost encounter, I just thought it was a person. I wouldn't even have known it was a ghost if I hadn't started asking some questions. You know, I thought it was a little girl, and I would have just gone the rest of the day and just thought, hey, this little girl was in the post office. So I could, I mean, I can't question that that is a possibility because it happened to me. You know, like I said, and at the time I just saw this person. So I could see, you know, how you could believe that, you know, how you could see somebody and have them not really be there, even though they look like they're there. So
it's a little strange when you, when you talk to something that you don't always see, but you know, they're there.
I know. So do you have the ability to kind of block some of this out when you, like, especially when you go home, like, and just, you know, say,
I think a lot of people say you can set your boundaries from them, but I don't think that always works because I think they want to, they're going to, you can't, that's just like telling a kid they can't do something that, you know, they're going to most likely do it anyway. You can set boundaries all you want, but it's going to be up to spirit whether they want to listen to you or not. So I just don't care. I'm open all the time. So I just, if they want me to say something to somebody or they want my attention, I'm just open. You know, I go to work and I hear them. They follow me to work. It's crazy, I know, but they do. I go to the restroom and nobody will be in there. I'll be at the sink washing my hands and all of a sudden the paper towel will just start running. And I'm like, okay, who's in here? You know? And just last week I was at work and the lady next to me, I kept hearing this female, she kept trying to talk to me. And I'm like, oh my gosh, you know? And so I ended up saying something to the lady next to me about it. And I just gave her like a 5-minute reading and her jaw just dropped. She couldn't believe it.
Now, wait a second. So you're at work and there's a real person next to you.
Yes.
And a spirit trying to get your attention.
Yes. To talk to her. Yes. And I'm like, it was so hard too, because I wear earplugs and I could still hear spirit in my ears. I'm like, oh my gosh. And sure enough, they wanted me to talk to the girl next to me. And it all made sense. She was blown away. She said, there's no way you knew that. And I said, well, yeah, there's a spirit here talking to me and won't leave me alone till I say something. So I got to tell you.
Did this woman
know? I don't do that often to people.
Well, I would hope not. you are aware enough, self-aware enough to know that that is.
Yeah.
Kind of really freak somebody out.
Yes, but sometimes they won't leave you alone. Sometimes they will not leave you alone if you don't say something. You know?
Was that lady aware that you had that ability or not?
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
I had wore my ghost sister jacket in, and she didn't know I was a medium, and she didn't ask me no questions, but we ended up talking about paranormal investigations. Yeah. And I did tell her I was a medium, but I never went no further. And I don't know if the spirit heard me say that, or the spirit probably already knew. And because it was like an hour after talking to her about what I do, next thing I know, her family's coming through to me. She had like three of them come through. And I mean, I was given names, full names. So, she was really blown away. I'm like shocked because I didn't think I was going to be able to hear the spirit because I had earplugs in because it's a loud factory. But yes, I could hear them. And I'm like, oh my gosh. But yeah, it's my life is a little, it's never boring. I'll say that. Interesting.
I was gonna say. So, what is the most? And I hate to make you relive something like this. What's the most frightened you've been recently with something that has happened out on an investigation that just kind of like? Because I mean, even though you seem like you're so used to this, and it roll, you know, just rolls off your back. There's got to be some time that.
Well, I'm used to it, but when I'm out in the field, I mean, I'm used to it, but I never know what's going to happen. And I always jump or scream or something because they always catch me off guard and spirits do. So that.
I don't feel so bad then. I don't feel so bad about being a big scaredy cat.
I do a lot of alone time. I do a lot of isolations because sometimes the other girls on my team, my sisters, won't do it. They're like, oh no, I'm not doing that. And I'm like, I'm the lead investigator. I gotta do this. So we were just recently, Sunday night, we were at in Indiana at the old Blackford County Jail, which was built, I think, in 1876. So it was actually a sheriff's office too. And they housed men. And they had only a few cells for women. But back in them days, they didn't really know what to do with the women. So they just made them like cook or do laundry back then. And also underneath this jail is a basement and a dungeon. Yes, I said a dungeon.
Okay.
And
did you take your extra set of handcuffs along with you?
I didn't need to. That place was crawling with handcuffs and shackles everywhere, even in the dungeon. Okay. Shackles were hanging. I'm like, oh, this is just crazy. This was our second time ever investigating this location. We first investigated it like 4 years ago. So we went back, and it never fails. Very haunted location. But we're in the dungeon and we set up a camera. And I want to say that the dungeon is covered with limestone. I am talking thick walls of limestone, which limestone is a kinetic energy source for spirit. It's a perfect conductor for them to use. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, this place is just like a beacon for spirits. Yeah. Well, I'm like, okay, I'm going to do an isolation in the dungeon. I said, I'm going to do it because I know there's a man down here and he wants to talk to me. I'm going to talk to him. So they go upstairs. They watch me on the camera. I got a live feed on me and we put a baby monitor in the dungeon and they had the radio monitor upstairs so they could hear me. And I'm going to tell you, it was creepy. I mean, the REM pod, they kept messing with the REM pod. And the REM pod is a device that picks up on electromagnetic fields, which is like static electricity, you know, energy. And they drained it completely. And they just kept trying to communicate with me more. I did not bring no spirit box there because it wasn't working as well down there because the walls were so thick. But after doing that isolation, I started to get uncomfortable after like 20 minutes. So I just sensed something else was coming towards me besides this man. So anyway, we get done with that. We go on and investigate for another hour. And I'm like, no, we need to go back down into the basement. I want to go down there. So we ended up going back down. And it was just me and another lady down in the basement right next to the dungeon. And all of a sudden, we're standing there and I had my back towards this opening and I had a vest on. I had all kinds of equipment on my vest and we're standing there. And I had the ink box set in an area where the spirits were able to go through it because we weren't in the dungeon where it's real thick walls. So they could still communicate through the box in the area I had it setting in. The spirit kept saying, get, don't, almost like they were trying to warn us not to go back around the dungeon. Well, I was right next to the dungeon and all of a sudden I feel someone yank on my vest. They like yanked on it twice and I jumped and I screamed. You talk about somebody who was freaking out. That was me. Because I didn't know if it was something bad down there, something negative, or if it was spirit trying to warn me, because they were saying, don't get, don't, you know, and so we didn't know how to take it. But that took a lot of energy to pull on my vest, you know?
Well, yeah, and where do you, like, so is it drawing that energy? I mean, it can't draw the energy from the limestone, right?
Yes, yes.
Or it does, because the energy is like stored in the limestone itself. Like,
yeah, you're gonna love this one. So there is a story at this old Blackford County Jail of an elemental creature known.
Now, why would I like? Why would you preface?
Because I know that you've done lots of podcasting on, you know, gnomes and different elementals.
That doesn't mean I like it. That just means I find it interesting.
This is interesting. Why is there a gnome that has been seen at this jail hanging out at a jail? And they said he's a trickster. And they said he's in the dungeon. And I'm down there in the dungeon. And I didn't know if it was the gnome or a spirit yanking on my vest.
Holy moly.
Yeah, yeah. I was a little freaked out because I know that he's been seen there. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I don't want to see a gnome. They say he's got a pointy hat and everything on. And I'm just like thinking the whole time I'm down there, I'm like, this gnome's probably the one who's down here like making noises. And he's probably the one that yanked on my vest. I just didn't know. It was scary.
Well, have you, okay, so you're throwing the gnome out. Have you come across anything other than what you would call a spirit or a ghost in your investigation? I mean, have you ever come across something like a gnome or a dog man or Bigfoot or anything like that out there?
Yes, actually I have just maybe about a month ago. We were here at my location here outside of Meeker, Ohio. And we were watching TV and my husband says, Mandy, pause that TV. He goes, I hear something. And this was like around 9 o'clock at night. And I'm like, okay. So I pause it and you could hear this weird sound outside. And we're in the country surrounded by woods and cornfields. So, and I was just thinking, what is that noise? I said, I hope it's not a hurt animal. I thought it was a dog or something. It just sounded like something was hurt. So my husband goes outside and he could hear it really good outside and he could come back in and he's like, I don't know what that is, but it could be an animal that's hurt. And an hour later, my neighbor, who's about a mile down the road, he was having a fire outside and he always sits out by the fire with a shotgun. So he,
a friendly neighborhood.
Yeah, all he right. just, yeah. you never know. He don't want to come across a coyote. You know, he's smart like that. So he ended up getting this weird sound, and he said he kept hearing it. And the only thing he could think of to do was to record it. And the sound that he heard scared this man so bad, he went inside his house. And he said all the years of living there, he's always sat outside by the by his fire with a shotgun. And never once did he hear anything that scared him so bad that he had to go inside his house. And the noise he was hearing that night, he went in his house and did not come back out until the next day.
Well, and I wasn't
up in the morning. Yeah.
Yeah. He and I wasn't
this video.
Well, I was
freaking out like, oh my.
Well, this, I wasn't even already, I knew we would talk about this. So I wasn't already, you know, that wasn't what I was really asking, but since you've gone into the story, I will, we shared, you sent me the video. Mm-hmm. And we shared it on Instagram. We shared it on Facebook, and I sent it to probably, and we'll share it again when this episode comes out. We'll put it back out again. And can I share the surveillance, footage that you sent me?
Yes, you can.
Because I think what that really does is it shows, like, it shows you guys seeing that, you know, you, like, you guys coming outside and going like, what is that? Now you can't hear anything on the surveillance footage, but you can obviously see that you guys are kind of like,
really, you can
puzzled.
I could hear it on the one
that shows you guys.
Yeah,
I couldn't hear it. I'll have to go back and look.
You have to go back and listen, because you can hear that weird noise outside. And again, everyone listening, this was an hour before my neighbor had captured what he had heard. Totally two different sounds here.
So yeah, so we'll figure out how we can put those together so everybody can see, like, you know, the chain of events and what it was, you know. And so I sent the second the one that your neighbor caught to some people in the Bigfoot world who have experience, and you know, some are, you know, she's a, you know, very skeptical and really like wanted to check it out. And I mean, the closest she could come to was that she had heard a similar sound of a black bear dying. Okay. And I'm like, but I mean, now I know we've had some guests on. We had a guest on recently that said that there was a report of a black bear being close to, towards Delaware.
That's ways away from me.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah. But that was the closest thing. And I'm like, and I told her, I said, nobody in this part of the state is hunting black bear. Okay. Even if there was a black bear, there's nothing out there to kill it. You know what I'm saying? It would be the big boss man on the food chain, so to speak.
Somebody would have already seen one of these hunters out here, because, like I said, there's woods, would have already reported the bear.
You'd have thought so. Because it's close to turkey and deer season, right? I mean, when this happened. So there's people out and out looking. You know,
I've lived here almost 7 years. And when we bought the property, the whole time I've been here, we've only heard coyotes. And of course, there's foxes out here and dogs. We've never heard anything like that. And the weird thing was, it's like you can hear the coyotes in the background, the dogs going crazy. And whenever you hear that sound, it's like everything got quiet. That is what, it's really creepy. And I'm like, what is that? And we even went as far as to compare it to like a bobcat, which I've never seen bobcats around here. Anything from a donkey to anything. We listened to all these calls from deers and just nothing compared to that sound. Only time I've ever heard that sound was when I watching, Bigfoot shows, and they would play these recordings. That's exactly what it sounded like. And I was a little freaked out because I'm like, oh no, that's too close. That sounds like it's like right behind us.
And well, it did.
Investigator, I come home in the middle of the night, sometimes 3-4 in the morning, 5, and I have to carry my equipment in. And there's been times that I felt like something was watching me. And I always thought it was just spirits outside. But I'm beginning to wonder, because there was one night I came home and I heard a weird noise out in the field there, right in my yard. It freaked me out so bad that I couldn't get in my house fast enough. I was going in that panic mode and I almost started ringing our doorbell to my husband, would get up, but I managed to get in the door fast enough. And he came out and was looking around. He didn't see anything. We didn't hear anything on the cameras. I don't know what it was, but it just kind of freaked me out, because knowing that that sound was captured, and I'm just like, what is this?
Well, so gosh, every time you tell a story, it leads me, I got 5 questions. So if you were standing out there and you thought somebody was watching you and it was a spirit, would you be able to concentrate a little bit and hone in on okay, yeah, there's this spirit. I mean, is that an ability?
I'm like, okay, I feel there's a spirit out here watching me. Okay. Yeah, I've gotten out of my car and heard them talk to me as soon as I get out of my car. I mean, yeah, but this was different.
So you got out and you felt like something was watching you, but it wasn't a spirit.
Yes, and I heard a weird noise too, and it freaked me out. It was like nothing I've ever heard, and that really freaked me out.
So your ability, your psychic medium ability, is more in connecting to spirits and not so much of you can read somebody's mind or read somebody's thoughts or something, right? I mean,
I am intuitive, so I do read people pretty easily sometimes.
But now, can you do you have to be in their presence, like face to face, and kind of you know what I'm saying?
Just talking to people, when I go live, I don't actually see these people. I just see their names, and I channel. So I can channel with people from all over the world. I do a lot of channeling when I do my live readings.
I don't really want to freak you out, but there is this, there's this a real school of thought that Bigfoot type creatures are just another, they're just a tribe of people, an ancient tribe of people. And there would be quite a bit of what we'd call humanness to them, that there's, there's more human than there is. Okay. So
they might try to kidnap me.
Anyway. I mean, you live in a rough neighborhood. The guy's like roasted marshmallows with a shotgun in his hand.
No, I'm in the country. It's very beautiful out here and peaceful. Very peaceful out here.
Well,
it was until we heard that noise anyway.
Well, what I'm wondering is I wonder if there's a way that, the next time you feel that or hear that, if you could collect yourself enough to maybe try to get a reading on that and see what, if you can.
Oh, I don't know. Maybe.
Ooh, did I scare me? I've rattled Mandy. All right.
The Bigfoot is another whole nother story.
But you know what I'm saying, though. I mean, if they have a real human element to them, which many people believe.
Some people do believe. Yes.
Yeah. That would certainly be a possibility. If you could, make a psychic connection or read people, you should be able to maybe do the same thing with that type of creature. Ooh,
that'd be interesting.
Listen, talk about a TV show. Talk about a TV show.
They would really think you were crazy.
And I mean, we're kind of laughing about it, but I mean, there's a very, it's a serious idea and a serious kind of a thought that, you know, maybe that could, because I've talked to psychic mediums who claim to have been, you know, they call it mind speak sometimes, okay, and people, just like you say, you know, you're hearing these voices and these words in your head, and you know it's the spirit, and you know that's the spirit trying to make contact with you. And I mean, I'm of the belief that these creatures are, you know, are a very spiritual type creature, that as much as they're flesh and blood, that there is a spirit, because I believe there's a tie into like a Native American aspect to them. So I believe they're, you know, on a spiritual plane, even as they're physically among us. And so I think that there's probably that ability, you know, to contact, to talk with them and hear their thoughts or whatever. And so I don't know. Maybe next time you think it's a ghost, maybe it's a Bigfoot saying, "Hey, Mandy, next time you come home, I can help you carry your stuff in."
Oh no.
we'll talk. Okay, so we'll get off of you being scared, but I want to, before we get off here, I want to kind of talk about, and I talked about a little bit on one of the shows, but we did a TV show together, at least an episode of one, where I was in it for literally a tenth of a second, but you had a big part in this show.
Do you want to tell everybody what we were in
and why you were there and where they can go watch the show?
Sure. So we were on the Ghost Brothers season 2, Lights Out, the first episode called The Shank, which was filmed over in Mansfield Prison in Ohio.
Yeah, it's called The Shank because that's where they filmed Shawshank Redemption.
Yes.
You know, I think, yeah, in case anybody didn't know.
I was still working in law enforcement at the time. And at the time, I was not in the paranormal field, but I had always knew there were spirits around me because I've been dealing with them since I was young. So, and I always wanted to go to the Mansfield prison because back in the day in 2006, they used to make me fill out an application and it was a long wait, like a year. So I never got in, you know, it always took too long. And the 1 year, 2016, they weren't doing it like that no more. They changed the rules. You just bought a ticket to go do a public investigation. So I got me a ticket and I was like, oh, I got to find someone to go with me because I don't want to be alone. And so I told my sister Chastity, I'm like, you're going to go with me. We're going to go investigate the Mansfield prison. And, you know, she's like, what? You know, I'm like, yeah, you're going with me. I don't want to be alone. So she got her ticket. And I ended up ordering some paranormal equipment because I needed something, you know, besides a flashlight. So, and my sergeant at the time had a GoPro that he let me borrow. So my sister and I are down in solitary while the lights were still on. They hadn't let no one begin investigating, but we kind of snuck off down to solitary. I kind of wanted to see it while the lights were still on. And when we were down there, I kept hearing this man saying, hey, hey. And I also was announcing that I was an officer too. So, well, what I didn't know at the time, we ended up capturing the guard, what we believe was the guard Frank, down in the solitary. And there's also another shadow figure in the middle of the hallway that we also captured on the GoPro. And I knew one day that this evidence was going to be good for something, so I held on to it. And sure enough, I had a friend of mine who's a producer for one of the producers on Ghost Brothers contacted me and said, hey, Mandy, blah, blah, blah. Would you like to be on the show and show your evidence? And I'm like, yes. So that's what happened. But I wasn't a paranormal investigator at the time, no. But it was after that I became an investigator. I ended up starting my team because I was so intrigued by what I had captured, and I started my team after that.
Well, and that is a great piece of evidence too.
Yes.
Okay. And so what's ironic is you caught probably one of your greatest pieces of evidence before you were an actual investigator.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying.
And so for everybody that, you know, if you go find that episode, I think like you can get it on demand or whatever, like through Spectrum.
Yeah, you can have it on, watch it on demand right now.
Yeah, they show that film. And that was the first time I had seen it. And I was like, whoa. Because the story is that Frank was a guard down there that was murdered by inmates, correct?
Yes.
And so that was really crazy. That was a great piece of evidence. And I strongly urge everybody that's listening to go check that out. And you will see me. I am in a quick flight. So my part in it is they asked, you know, for us to get some other people that had eyewitness testimony and stuff. And then, hey, do you want to come over and be in a reenactment part? And so I get over there and they're like, we're going to put you in the electric chair. Now, I've been around the prison, that prison for long, you know, doing a lot of different projects. And I'm like, they never had anybody in the electric chair here. That electric chair is from Columbus. Okay. from the old state prison in Columbus. I'm like, this doesn't make any sense. Like, what are they doing? And so they took a little behind the scenes. They took me up there and filmed me in the kind of the shadows getting walked in, strapped to the electric chair, you know, and then they had me act like I was being electrocuted or whatever, which was eerie, okay, in and of itself, that you're pretending to be fried, basically. And I asked him, I said, what is this story? And they're just like, they kind of chuckle. They're like, well, this isn't a story. They go, when are you ever going to have a chance to film somebody frying an electric chair? We couldn't pass it up. And I'm like, all right, thanks. So they used just like a little sliver of me doing that. But it was fun. I mean, it's always fun to go and do stuff at the prison. And like that, when I saw that footage, you know, we were in solitaire doing stuff for the movie the one time, and we just, it was weird. We just never felt anything in that prison when we were there filming, and late at night, a lot of times. And I always thought like the people that passed away there would have been either prison guards or prisoners. Okay. And so seeing all of us dressed up as prisoners and prison guards, you would have thought
you would have had more.
It would have drawn them out because it looked familiar to them. You know, it was like something that maybe they felt like, oh man, am I dead or did I just fall asleep? And here it is. We're, you know. So it's just weird. But that piece of evidence you captured is amazing for sure.
It's almost like I was meant to do it. You know what I mean?
That was your real nudge into the paranormal, paranormal.
Besides all my experiences throughout my life. Yeah.
Oh gosh. Look, we were only gonna talk for a little bit and we've just gone on and on. This has all been good stuff. But before I let you go, tell everybody where they can find you on social media, and so they can see some of this other evidence that you've put up over the years on your pages.
Okay. Well, you can go over and you can find us. We're on all social media. We are on Facebook, TikTok, YouTube, Instagram, and Twitter.
And it's all Ghost Sisters, right?
Yes. You all can go sisters. There and you can see a lot of our evidence that we have captured out in the field. You can listen to a lot of our EVP recordings. It's pretty interesting, some of the things we've captured.
And I will say this. I don't want to embarrass you, but Mandy is probably one of the nicest, most genuine, kindest, people that I've come across doing this show in the paranormal field. I mean, and I mean, I know we've become good friends, but you genuinely are a really great person, and I don't think you have a mean or malicious bone in your body, which is, I got to admit, hard to find sometimes. When, you know, but I love your enthusiasm. I love whenever I get a text or a call from you, I know it's something good. I know there's going to be something good. So I encourage everybody to go out and follow your stuff, because you do have some great evidence, and plus it's just good to support good people. So,
thank you.
I am very thankful that you agreed to come back on and hang out. And I know that you're a hustler, and I know at some point we'll be doing something else.
Oh yeah.
I don't know what it is, but I know you'll get us into something else. So,
probably.
So, yes. But yes, I appreciate you hanging out, and just be safe, okay?
Oh yeah. Always.
Thank you for tuning in to this week's episode of the From the Shadows podcast. Until next time, never shy away from the darkness or what may be lurking in the shadows. We are out.
God only knows what's hiding in our shadows.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.